1907. July 18th, 1907. Sowing Beside All Waters. Ellen G. White. The commission that Christ gave to his disciples was not merely for the building up of his cause in a few places. Every nation in the earth was to have the light of sacred truth. The churches that have not, by Christian zeal and activity, been light bearers to some needy part of the Lord's vineyard, have failed to fulfill the commission of Christ. Consider the work that our churches in America have done to extend the knowledge of the truth in foreign fields. Has not this promoted the work of the message in our country? Has it not lent power and influence to the cause of present truth at home? Had the money and labor that has been given to the cause in other lands been confined to the work in the homeland, would not the church have lost materially in spiritual life? God has been honored by the work that has been done for the people in distant lands. We must increase our liberalities to missions, and while we increase our labor and our gifts for foreign fields, we must not neglect the work that needs to be done at home. The message is given to us at this time. Act your part in your home field. There is a decided work to be done in all our cities and towns. Had the churches labored faithfully for the cities and towns in which they are located, a great work would have been done in bringing the message of present truth before the people of all nationalities in America, and multitudes would have accepted the truth, and with the burden of communicating the light they had received to their countrymen, they would have gone forth as missionaries to their home fields. Thus, thousands would have been reached that are yet unwarned, and the foreign fields that now have so few workers would have hundreds of laborers engaged in teaching the truths of the third angel's message. The Lord designed that the cities of America should be thoroughly warned, that her people, gathered here from many nations, should be converted to carry the message of warning to all the world. Had the commission of Christ been accepted in all its fullness by the people of God, a great and noble work would be accomplished that is still to be done. Commercial interests would have been made of secondary importance. The command, "Go ye into all the world," would have closed the door of selfish indulgence and needless expenditure of means for dress and adornments. The Lord would have opened the way for the truth to extend to all the world. Our field is the world. Repeat it again and again. Our field is the world. We rejoice for those who have made a willing offering of their property to the Lord. We encourage all to help with their means in the cause of God. Christians who are fully awake to the needs of the work will not spend the Lord's money needlessly. They will consider the great missionary field to be worked, and viewing their obligations in the light of the cross of Calvary, they will consider no sacrifice too great to make for him who gave his life for the life of the world. The Lord is calling upon his people to take up different lines of missionary work. Those who are in the highways and the hedges are to hear the saving gospel message. Church members are to do evangelistic work in the homes of their friends and neighbors who have not received full evidence of the truth. The presentation of the truth in love and sympathy from house to house is in harmony with the instruction that Christ gave to his disciples when he sent them out on their first missionary tour. By songs of praise to God, by humble, heartfelt prayers, by a simple presentation of Bible truth in the family circle, many will be reached. The divine worker will be present to send conviction to hearts. "I am with you alway," is his promise. With the assurance of the abiding presence of such a helper, we may labor with faith and hope and courage. All who surrender themselves to God in unselfish service for humanity are in cooperation with the Lord of glory. This thought sweetens all toil. It braces the will. It nerves the spirit for whatever may befall. Working with unselfish heart, ennobled by being partakers of Christ's sufferings, sharing his sympathies, they help to swell the tide of his joy and bring honor and praise to his exalted name. Precious are God's promises to those who minister in his name. He says, Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he will say, Here am I. Thy light shall rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Sanitarium, California, June 18, 1907, Ellen G. White. October 31, 1907, A Lesson in Liberality. Number 1. Ellen G. White.
To the church in Corinth, Paul wrote, Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. At the time of this writing, the apostle was on a journey, one object of which was to collect means for the relief of the poor saints at Jerusalem. He had established in the Corinthian church, as also in Galatia, a system of weekly offerings, and had enjoined upon Titus, in his visits to the churches, to give special attention to the forwarding of this benevolent enterprise. The brethren in Macedonia were very poor. In receiving the gospel, they had placed themselves under persecution and oppression. With some, every advantage was denied them because of their faith. Because of their poverty and their trials, they knew how to sympathize with those who were in need. In their poverty, they gave so liberally that the brethren were surprised at the amount raised. The reason for their liberality was that they had in their hearts the love of the truth. They themselves had tasted of suffering. Trusting in the Lord, they had been comforted, and their hearts went out in sympathy to their brethren in need. They were willing to deprive themselves of goods and of money that they might relieve the suffering saints in the church at Jerusalem. Not only was Paul actuated by a desire to relieve the sufferings of his Jewish brethren, but also by the hope that the tangible expression of the love and sympathy of the Gentile converts would soften the bitter feelings cherished toward them by many of the believers in Judea. Notwithstanding the poverty of the brethren in Macedonia, they joined readily in the apostle's plan and urged him to accept their bounty for the needy Christians at Jerusalem. They had the utmost confidence in his integrity and judgment, and considered him the proper person to take charge of their gifts. The brethren in Macedonia experienced the truth of the words of Christ: It is more blessed to give than to receive. They felt that the cause of Christ was won everywhere. They, therefore, in their poverty, felt called out to help other churches more needy than themselves. This spirit of unsectional liberality should characterize the churches of today. They should continually keep the burden on their souls for the advancement of the cause of God in any and every place. Titus had visited the churches in Macedonia. So successful had he been in calling forth the liberality of the brethren there, that Paul desired, as he wrote to the Corinthians, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in them the same grace also. Therefore, he continues, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also.
Here, benevolence is placed by the side of faith, love, and Christian diligence. Those who think that they can be good Christians and yet close their ears and hearts to the calls of God for their liberalities are in a fearful deception. There are those who abound in professions of great love for the truth and, so far as words are concerned, have an interest to see the truth advance, but who do nothing for its advancement. The faith of such is dead, not being made perfect by works. The Lord never made such a mistake as to convert a soul and leave it under the power of covetousness. In appealing to the brethren at Corinth to give liberally, Paul reminds them of the great sacrifice made in their behalf by the Lord Jesus Christ. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, Paul continues, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Paul had brought to the attention of the church in Corinth the liberal example of the brethren in Macedonia, where, though they were exceedingly poor, they had with thankfulness and willingness contributed in response to the appeals for help. In this, however, he did not desire to lay an unduly heavy burden upon them.
"For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened," he declares, "but by an equality, that now, at this time, your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack." In his journey to Corinth, Titus was accompanied by another brother, who was highly esteemed among all the churches. Still another, who had labored diligently with the apostle, was sent to accompany these brethren. Concerning these laborers, the apostle wrote, "Thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed, he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward, of his own accord he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent, upon the great confidence which I have in you." In the following words, Paul commends to the Corinthian church these brethren who had so willingly undertaken a difficult task. "Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore show ye to them, and before the churches, the proof of your love, and of our boasting on your behalf." Mrs. E. G. White, November 14, 1907. A Lesson in Liberality. Number 2. Ellen G. White. Paul's testimony was accepted as of great weight because of the many revelations he had received. He knew better than did many others the necessities of the various places.
but he was unwilling to take personal charge of the raising of the contribution for the relief of the saints at Jerusalem. He had been largely instrumental in causing it to be raised, but, lest any should find occasions to speak evil, Titus and his companions made the journey to Corinth, for there was no safe way of transporting money at that time. The apostle refers to the fact that a year before, a gift had been pledged, but there had been no realization of this pledge. The apostle now had an efficient helper whom he could send out to the churches, reminding them of their pledges, lest they should fail to carry out their good resolutions. It was essential for the repute of the church that they should now make good the promise they had made a year before. For, as touching the ministering to the saints, the apostle continues, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready, lest, haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had notice before, that the same might be ready, as a matter of bounty, and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God loveth a cheerful giver, and those who love him will give freely and cheerfully, when by so doing they can advance his cause and promote his glory. The Lord never requires his people to offer more than they are able, but according to their ability he is pleased to accept and bless their thank offerings. Let willing obedience and pure love bind upon the altar every offering that is made to God, for with such sacrifices he is well pleased. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Many exceeding great and precious promises has the Lord made to the liberal.
Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. There is that scattereth, and yet increaseth. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. The liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. There are some who are liberal with their gifts, and these gifts call forth the grateful praise of those who through them are given a knowledge of the gospel. The givers become the subject of the prayers of those who receive the benefit of the offerings made. The Spirit of God is grieved when those church members who have means withhold the offerings that would help the work to be carried forward rapidly and extensively. Will not our church members become intelligent in regard to the needs of the missionary fields and respond to the efforts that are being made to secure help for those workers who are laboring in difficult places? Who with Paul will seek to stir up the churches to a spirit of liberality for these needy fields? Not only in the South, but in many places the work is hard to carry, and the workers are compelled, as it were, to make brick without straw. To all our people I bear the message: if we will be sanctified, soul, body, and spirit, to do the will of the Lord, he will walk in our midst as a light from heaven. Let there be a breaking up of every selfish method of labor, and let each help the other as one great converted brotherhood. Mrs. E. G. White.